To the Middle East now. Is there a trend towards stability in the nation of Iraq? It depends on who you talk to. The Iraqi government has been stuck in a political stalemate since the U.S. ended its formal military role in that country, but still, things are considerably better than was the case in 2006. On the streets of Baghdad, though, not so much. According to the United Nations mission in Iraq, 1,057 Iraqis were killed and another 2,326 injured in July alone, and that includes cities outside of Baghdad as well, making last month the deadliest since April of 2008. Jane Araf, reporter in Baghdad for Al Jazeera English and the Christian Science Monitor, joins me now. Jane, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Is there an organized sense of this violence? Is it more a lapse into chaos? And are particular classes of citizens being targeted, do you think?
Well, it's a lot of factors overlapping in a particularly horrible way. You're absolutely right that things are better than they were when there was no government, when there were no security forces, when police ran away. It isn't that. But what it is a combination of different factors. You've got Al-Qaeda that has undergone a resurgence since they were driven out of the cities largely by U.S. forces working with Sunni tribes. And there are all sorts of other groups, including former Baathists. There's political violence. There is, as you mentioned, a political paralysis. And there's an Iraqi military, security forces that just aren't very good at that intelligence effort that you need to crack down on these networks. At first, it was just Shias being targeted for the most part, because that has been one of the aims of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, the Islamic State of Iraq, to restart sectarian war. But now it's a lot wider. It's Sunni mosques, Sunni neighborhoods, cafes, funerals, football fields, almost anything you can think of, and pretty much almost any time of the day or night.
We've all been holding our breaths, I think, since the story of that dramatic prison break where so many Al-Qaeda suspects and individuals held in Abu Ghraib were freed. And I'm wondering if there's any sense of where these individuals have gone and if it's resulted in some resurgence in the underground networks of violent insurgencies.
Well, it's bound to have an effect. You just can't have a couple of hundred prisoners freed, particularly prisoners who had been serving time for being members of Al-Qaeda, being operatives, being involved in bombings. But I think it's probably not quite at the point that Iraqi officials have raised the alarm bells for. Some Iraqi officials have said 100 of them have crossed the border and are fighting in Syria. Others have said that the escaped prisoners were partly responsible for a string of bombings last week. The thought is it's just too soon for that to happen. These bombings take a lot of planning, as do other operations. But still, it is extremely alarming, not just because of the escapees. Interpol, the international law enforcement agency, has put out a regional alert. It calls the prison break a major threat to global security. So there's the fact that you have these escaped prisoners, but it's also what it says about Iraqi security. This was a prison, Abu Ghraib prison, the notorious prison, where prisoners routinely have cell phones, as they do in every other jail. You can bribe a guard into almost anything. And the government response after this was to fire the head of prisons and to arrest many of the guards who it said were actually helping the prisoners escape. So all in all, pretty troubling.
I alluded to the political sort of deep freeze that the Iraqi government has been in for years. For progress to happen on the ground and in the security situation, does there need to be a movement to the next real political moment in Iraq right now?
There absolutely does, because while Iraq probably is not at the brink of civil war, I mean, it's just a different country than it was a few years ago. By the same token, nothing's really moving forward. It's sort of one step forward, two steps back. And there are a lot of things that should be moving forward. This country is one of the fastest growing economies right now in the region. It has immense amounts of oil revenue, even though the pipelines are again targeted by fighters and bombings. But that isn't trickling down. There are no jobs being created. The schools aren't much better. Here in Baghdad, the electricity is still cut off for 3 hours at a time. It's sweltering hot. There isn't even enough electricity for government employees to go to work 5 days a week. They're getting Thursdays off during this part of the summer. So it's not in great shape. And part of that is because there's so much political infighting. It's not just sectarian Sunni against Shia. There's also the Kurdish struggle going on, struggle for power between the Kurds in the north, where they have their own semi-autonomous region, and the Iraqi central government. It's essentially a country that's still being invented. Everything is at play. How much power they have in the provinces, pretty much everything.
How much of a sense is there that the diaspora, the considerable Iraqi diaspora since the U.S. invasion, might be a key to this reinvention, that when they start returning, when they start having an influence, that some of the issues of prosperity, security, and political viability will start to improve?
That's such a great question. That is a dream that a lot of Iraqis have given up on. And that is one of the more tragic things, and what essentially is still a very tragic story. All of those Iraqis who left with their hearts broken. I mean, the Iraqis who left didn't want to leave. This is their country. Iraqis, by and large, love their country. They left because they were driven out of their neighborhoods, or they had family members killed, or they couldn't stand the corruption. Things would have to get a lot better for them to come back. You're not seeing people coming back. Instead, you're seeing the opposite. If you go to the Baghdad airport, you will still see families clutching plastic bags with refugee documents. Absolutely heartbreaking, but people are still trying to leave. In fact, with this increase in violence and the increase in sectarian tension, there are more people trying to leave now than ever. And that comes at a time when it's harder for Iraqis to get out. So the doctors, the lawyers, the engineers, all those people who could help here, they're either not here or they're unable to help. And those who are out certainly don't seem willing to come back.
Jane Araf, reporter in Baghdad for Al Jazeera English and the Christian Science Monitor. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.